to all who receive Jesus, to those who believe on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's how the Gospel of John begins in chapter 1, verse 12. We're going to be looking, beginning at verse 19 to 34. You can find it in your pew Bibles on page 1053. I invite you to turn there. We want to spend our time this morning in this passage, John 1, verse 19 to 34. But before we do, let me just put a frame around it. It begins in verse 12 of chapter 1. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but to whoever received him, to all who received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It brings us to a place of asking, do I believe? That's the beginning of the book of John, and the end of the book of John says very much the same thing. In fact, this is the reason why John wrote his gospel. In chapter 20, you don't have to turn there, just listen. It says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that, here's his purpose, you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the very message we've been looking at over all these weeks, isn't it? New life and a living hope. This is the work of God in us. To all who believed, he gave the right to become children of God. That's the idea of the whole Gospel of John. So it makes a lot of sense that we understand who Jesus is. Who is this one that we will believe in? And that's our passage this morning. Would you pray with me as we ask God to speak to us? Father, give us eyes of faith this morning to see and believe. We are all growing in our faith. No one in this room has perfect faith. We fix our eyes on Jesus because he is the author and the perfecter of our faith, because our faith still needs to be developed, the completer, the perfecter. It still needs perfecting. So for every heart that is here, and however we've come this morning, if our faith is a little threadbare or a little weak and doubts arise in our soul, Father, would you take our gaze, take our face in your hands and turn us to yourself? Would you help us to fix our eyes on Jesus so that he can perfect our faith? I pray that your word would come alive in our souls this morning, that you would speak and we would see Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would have your way. And in his name, we ask all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. The question of who is Jesus is a question that has filled the hearts of man all the way down through history since he walked the earth. He said a lot of great things. Love your enemies, do good to others. All the things Jesus declared. He's a wonderful example of love. Greater love has no man than this, than he lays down his life for his friends. Even those who reject the testimony that Jesus rose from the dead, we'll ask the same question, the search for the historical Jesus. Who is Jesus? John's gospel is an eyewitness account. John is giving us a clear answer to this question. In fact, every time we share communion over the next number of months, we want to come back to the gospel of John. We want to come back to this understanding of who Jesus is so that as we partake in communion together, we will celebrate our Lord. God will draw us in and engage our hearts. You remember the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Remember what Jesus said to her? If you knew the gift of God and who it is, who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. Why? Because only God can give living water. And if you only knew that this living water would provide a drink for your soul. This morning, if you know Jesus, you would ask and he would give you a drink for your soul. That's John 4. In John 5, the lame man who's healed at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years he sat there. And when he was healed, he jumped up leaping and praising God. He knew who had healed him. It was the work of God. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, gathered around him. Who is this man who said to you, take up your pallet and walk? Who is he? Same question, chapter 5. John 8, Jesus is teaching in the temple. The religious leaders ask the very same question. First of all, who are you? And then they're offended in John 8 and they begin to say, who do you think you are? By what authority do you do these things? Then in John 9, the man who is born blind is healed. And Jesus finds him and says, do you believe in the Son of Man? A name that comes from the book of Daniel. The Son of God becomes the Son of Man to redeem his people. And the hope of the Messiah was by this title in the book of Daniel. And Jesus says, do you believe in him? And the blind man says, Lord, who is he that I may believe? He was born blind. He knew that God had healed him. He declared it to the Sanhedrin. This is the work of God. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe him? And Jesus said, you see him. And he is the one who's speaking to you. And the man humbly says, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. The question is for all of us, who is Jesus? Because if we understand who Jesus is, we will be those in chapter 1. Whoever received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If our eyes are open to see the revelation of God himself this morning, then we will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, as the book of John ends. What is amazing about the end of the book of John is that when Jesus appears after his death and resurrection to disciples on the shore, it says none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. You think John has a purpose here? You think the gospel of John is moving us towards this humble recognition of Jesus as Lord? What a wonderful message for us. I pray that's what you will hear. Follow along as I read these verses in the Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 1. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. And they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Here in the very beginning, John the Baptist is a witness. It's the courtroom of the Gospel of John. And throughout the entire book, we will hear witness after witness after witness. That's why this is the first book you give to somebody who has a spiritual interest. Because it's very honest. It asks the very question of the person who is seeking. Who is this one that claims to be the Messiah? And you see all the way through the testimonies of the Gospel of John. In our passage, we see right in verse 1, John is a testimony. Pardon me, chapter 1, look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Chapter 1, verse 6. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. Do you see a theme in this great gospel? He was not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light. Chapter 1, verse 15. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he comes after me, ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Isn't that amazing? Grace and truth. If all you have is truth, if all you have is the law, all you have is condemnation. But there is something John is going to tell us in this passage that removes our sin. Look at verse 18. "No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Look carefully at verse 18. God at the Father's side. God the Son. God distinct from the Father, yet one with the Father. Absolute clarity who Jesus is. The Son of God at the Father's side. Well, our verses, verse 19 to 28, are clearly divided in 2 days. You can see it from verse 19 to 28 is the first day. The Pharisees have come to John and they're asking John, "Who are you?" And it's all John's testimony about himself up until the end of verse 28. And look at verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming. Now John's testimony turns to who Jesus is on day 2. On day 1, John just answers their questions. You saw it in verse 19 at the very end. And they ask him, "Who are you?" And John confesses. Look at verse 20. It's so emphatic in the Gospel of John. His answer, he confesses, he did not deny, but confesses, "I'm not the Christ." Why does John say it so strongly? Why didn't he say, "John replied, I am not the Christ"? Because this is the very thing that we found in verse 6 and 7. He was not the light, but he came to witness to the light. He clearly confesses, he did not deny, he confesses, "I'm not the Christ." He doesn't want there to be any doubts in their minds. And failing to get the answer they want, they go on in verse 21. "Well, then, are you Elijah?" And he says, "I am not." "Well, are you the prophet that is promised in Deuteronomy 18? Remember, Moses said, a prophet like me will arise." And he says, "No." I think what John is doing is he's saying, who I am does not matter as much as what I came to do. Because even when they press him, look in verse 22. So they said, "Who are you?" We need to give an answer. Verse 23, he answers, but he doesn't even say who he is. What does he say in verse 23? He says, "This is what I've come to do." John's answer to who he is what he's come to do. And his reason for coming is to point to Christ. Everything John says about himself is focused towards Christ. Do you see his answers? They get shorter every time. "I'm not the Christ. I am not. No." And then he says with great clarity, "But I am pointing to the Lord. The one that I will point to. He is the Lord." John is saying it doesn't matter who I am, but it matters who the Lord is. And that's why I'm pointing to him. John's answer is a quote from Isaiah 40. And though John says, "I'm not the prophet Isaiah," He is not the actual prophet that has come back from the dead. He says the very words of the prophet. He is like the prophet Isaiah, and he quotes Isaiah 40. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. I speak as the prophet Isaiah. That's what John is trying to say. John assumes the voice of the prophet. But he is saying that the whole point is the one that I'm pointing to. This is John's whole testimony. Now it seems that they still refuse to accept what he's doing here. Look in verse 25. So they ask him, then why are you baptizing? If you are not the Christ, then why are you baptizing if you're not Elijah or the prophet? And the answer to why John is baptizing is the answer he's already given them, but they refuse to hear it. So he gives it to them again. I am here baptizing so that Jesus can be revealed. Go down to verse 31. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. This is John's whole focus. This is his whole purpose. What is amazing is John is saying, it does matter who Jesus is, because who Jesus is the reason he can do what Jesus does. If Jesus is not the Son of God, he cannot be the Lamb of God. In fact, that's the very next verses, verse 29 to 34. This is the end, the second day. This is the very thing that John's testimony is. Do you see it in verse 29? Two clear statements about who Jesus is. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and he is the Son of God in verse 34. That's his whole witness, his whole testimony. John's purpose here is to declare that Jesus is, in fact, God himself come in the flesh as God's Son. You see it in verse 30. He talks about, this is he of whom I've already said, he comes after me, he was before me. He is declaring that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. At Christmas, you remember, we looked at the book of Luke. And remember, the angel has just announced to Mary that she will be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And already Elizabeth, the mother of John, is 6 months pregnant. John the Baptist came before Jesus. And yet somehow John is saying he's existed before me. He talks about the eternal existence of God. In fact, we know this is the case because only in chapter 1, across the page, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. John is declaring that Jesus is existed eternally before he is the Son of God. That's where his testimony is moving from verse 30 all the way down to 34. But he also declares that Jesus is God because only God is able to give his Spirit. Look in verse 31. I came baptizing that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend on him. Here is this miraculous revelation to John that Jesus is the one. The Spirit remained on him. And I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Later on in the book of John, Jesus will say that I give eternal life to all those that the Father has given me. He says, I do the work of the Father. Only God can do the work of the Spirit. Only God can baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now this is John's purpose, and it is going to go through the rest of the Gospel of John. We just see it here in the very beginning, just the very first explanation. And we'll see it through the rest of the book. But the centerpiece of this passage is verse 29. Why did Jesus come? To take away the sins of the world. Not just Israel. not just God's people, but the sins of the world to all those who believe, from every tribe, from every tongue, from every nation, interracial, intergenerational, to everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, it says in chapter 1. And that's where the entire gospel is moving. What does he mean by the Lamb of God? If you've grown up in the church, you know that the entire sacrificial system depends on this. From the very beginning in Genesis 22, when Abraham is sacrificing Isaac, what is Isaac's question? Where is the Lamb? And Abraham's response is, God will provide. And then we come to Exodus. And in Exodus, this powerful picture of the Passover lamb, the substitute, the animal that dies, that is judged on their behalf and marks the doorways, so that as the destroying angel, the judging angel, comes over Israel and Egypt, God's people are marked and covered by the blood of the Lamb. A physical lamb, an animal that is pointing forward to the New Testament, that God himself will provide a lamb. We come to Leviticus 4, and it details and lays out all of the Old Testament sacrificial system. And then we come to the book of Hebrews, describing Jesus in chapter 9, he entered once for all the holy places, not by the means of blood and goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of the heifer sanctified and purified the flesh, an outward purification, verse 14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from the dead works to serve a living God? Does it matter? When your heart condemns you, when you stand before God, or even in the quietness of your own moments, and you feel like, God will never forgive me. I've done too much. My sin is too great. There is a sacrifice that is perfect. It is not our little feeble efforts as if we bring our things as a sacrifice. Jesus can only be the Lamb of God because he is the Son of God. Perfect in all. And the whole Old Testament is moving towards this great realization. And the very question of Isaac to Abraham, where is the Lamb, is answered by John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. A living hope in a living Savior. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And John 20. These things have been written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now hear it. The Son of God. And that by believing you will have life in his name. Because the Son of God is the Lamb of God. In John 8, verse 24, it says, unless you believe I am he, the words of Jesus, unless you believe I am he, you will die in your sins. Wow. Thank God for the Lamb. One day we will stand before our Lord and Savior, and we will realize the truth of the book of Revelation that says, these overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of Jesus. As your pastor, as your friend, I call you to believe. Put your full weight down on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Where your faith is a little weak, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. We will share communion. And we will do this as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup. We will do this in remembrance with grateful, thankful hearts and proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray. Father, beyond any words I could say, I prayed at the beginning that you would give us eyes of faith to see and to believe. Father, I pray this very morning, from the very young to the very old, that you will give faith to believe. That this very question, who is it, would come over our soul with clarity. The Son of God is the Lamb of God who gave his life to take away my sin. I believe, and you give me the right to become your child. Father, fill our hearts with faith to your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.